don't thresh the wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, all his has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and has delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Listen to this. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this thy might, or in the might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And I want to do a little, to dissect this a little bit, to find out and ask some crucial questions. First, let me give you the background of Gideon. Gideon was not a soldier. He was an ordinary person. He was just like, he was not a pastor. He was not a prophet. He doesn't work in the tabernacle. But he was just an Israelite who was concerned about the state of things around him. And he came to a point. The situation at that time was that they go to the farm, they make their, they plant their crops. When it's harvest time, their enemy comes to harvest them. That is awful. That's not a place for anyone to be. That you labor for a whole year, when it comes to the time of reaping your fruit, the enemy comes and take it. But Gideon said, this cannot continue to go on. Now, what surprised me is that there were prophets, there were priests, there were rabbis, there were all kinds of elders, kings in Israel, but none stepped out to do something about it. They just accept the norm. Well, accept it as the norm. But Gideon, when they said, I want to do something different. And the Bible said he went to the field and started harvesting, which will cost him his life. But while he was harvesting, there was the Lord was there, the angel of the Lord was there, waiting. What was it that brought the angel of the Lord to the field where he was actually harvesting? Those are the things we'll find out tonight. What was it that triggered God to dispatch an angel to that place? And he was watching him harvesting, talking, probably praying that they won't be caught. And all of a sudden, he said, hey, you mighty man of valor. Go and find out what that means. Somebody who have fought, who have conquered, a very strong person. That is not the description of Gideon. He doesn't have what it takes to answer the mighty man of valor. But because he applies these three things, he became the mighty man of valor. So I will ask you, what was it that God saw and said, go in this your might? Go in this your strength, in this your power. What was it that God saw? What was it that God was referring to? Three things. Number one, a decision. Gideon decided that things will not happen the way it used to happen. He made a decision to change the course of things. Decision you make today is what affects you tomorrow. If you make a decision to marry a wife, every other woman in the world, you are blind to them. Because that decision set you on a course. If you decide to study medicine, every other course just go aside. It set you on a course to do something. I remember talking to a doctor. I was in his office and I saw all kinds of things he put there. And he wanted me to touch one. I said, no, that was when Gladys had the surgery. I said, I can't touch it. He said, why? I said, because it will never leave my brain. Said, no wonder if I come to your church, I wonder how do you quote the Bible? You're not looking at it. You read it. He said, now I understand. I said, but doctor, with all this surgery you do, do you still eat meat? Do you still eat beef? He said, once I leave the theater, everything I saw in the theater goes away. Why? A decision. He made a decision that this is what I'm going to do. He set him on a course. Your decision carve out your course of action, either spiritually or physically. If you decide to seek God, you trigger heaven to make himself available. If you decide to study God's word, to know him, he trigger knowledge into your life. If you decide to be a prayer warrior, he gives you the energy to pray. If you decide to win souls, you find out you begin to love the lost and begin to pray for them. While others may not even feel what you feel, but you cry when you see somebody who is lost. If you decide, well, I'm going to be a help in the church, no matter how busy you are, you can carve out the time because your decision set you on a course of action. The problem I see today in the church is that we see things happen, but we don't make decisions about them. The decision step for him to step out, Gideon said, I am not going to just, he didn't tell his father when he was going. But I'm not going to let this continue. He was seeking for the God who did the miracles in the past. That decision was a change in his life. That was what brought me here. A decision was what brought me into this country. January 1, 1979. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I heard God's voice. Asked me to go to a town about 120, 130 miles away from my city on the second day of the year. You won't find anybody there because it's a melting pot. Everybody come from one village or the other. They've all gone back to celebrate the new year. But God said, I should go. I took my motorbike and I rode my motorbike to that place to go and preach. The store I know was where I used to hire movies, to Christian movies, to go and preach in the village because there was no television then. I would show the movie, people would come out, and then when it got to the half, I stop it, I preach, and after that, I complete it. So I got to that shop. One of the doors was open, and a chair was outside. Nobody was sitting there. So I greeted the guy inside. Oh, he knew I was coming. They know me very well. But I sat outside from about 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock I left. He didn't come out from inside to see me. I was sitting outside. His partner came and said, oh, you are here. What have you heard of Morisello School of Ministry? I said, no. He just put his hand in the pocket, brought a piece of paper with address, have it. They are giving scholarship to pastors. What have I got to do with school? I came here because God gave me a voice to come here. Well, I hold the paper. And he said, if you are going home, that same voice, if you are going home, branch your hometown. I branched my hometown and found my immediate younger brother running around the house, butt naked. He was completely insane. And it hit me like thunderbolt. I went to pray. Before I kneeled down, I said, that is why I sent you. That day, I laid my hands on my brother. He was delivered that moment and followed me home the next day. Then I knew the paper has something to do. I wrote to San Diego. See, I have a decision to make, either to throw it away or to write. So I wrote. They sent me this open paper. They didn't ask for qualification. They didn't ask for nothing. It's just a Christian motivational school. And he said, are you a Christian? Are you born again? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Do you understand English? Do you read English and all that? That's all. Yeah. And I sent it back. In this November, I got a letter from them, which is still in my house. The line that got me is, out of 4,000 applicants, after prayerful consideration, you are one of the 400 choosing to come to San Diego. All expenses paid, just pay your transport and come. What? It's like, okay. I sat on this chair, I read it. The letter didn't change. I moved to the next chair, I read it. All the chair in my living room, I read it and it didn't change. So I went into the living room, I called my wife. I said, well, can you read this thing? And my wife screamed, you are going to America. What? Me, America? No. Because it's not in my radar at all. But the decision I made to obey God's voice, to go to that place, and was what gave me the opportunity to get the paper. Amen? So you find, I got the paper, I wrote, now I have admission. I was asked to come. There is no way God can use you without a choice, a decision you make. Because when you make a decision, it is then God come down into your decision and walk with you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If, conditional. So if I decide to be in Christ, I become a new creature. Your choice. You are a Christian because you made a choice. And you, because if you don't make that decision, you cannot progress. So it's important for us to look at this. To be rich or to be poor is a choice. I can tell you that. My life, when I was humiliated at the age of 10, I could have given up of life. But I decided that I would do something to show my brother that I can live without him. And I started business, abandoned school. I started selling firewood. I can tell you that was how I started selling shoes. It metamorphosed into several things. Bought properties when I was 13 years old. Because I made a decision. That decision is, I'm not going to stay at this point. I'm not going to allow you to destroy me. I'm not going to allow my future to be blamed. I want to find out what it is. After COVID, it was difficult to find fish to buy. I made a decision to raise my own fish. Right? So I have ponds behind my office. And I have enough fish to eat and to sell. Why? Because it's a decision. Before COVID, I had the Lord ask me a question as I evaluate what I do. Now, I can raise this. I started a farm, huge farm, where we can raise our local food. Why? Because I don't want them to be hungry. A decision. It turned out to be a blessing when COVID came and people were not able to buy food. I still have my farm. Today, to buy our local food is like 10 times what it costs. But I have my farm. A decision. To be used of God is a decision. To be, I mean, you can be in church only 6 months and God begin to use you because you make a decision. But some can be in church for 10 years and nothing is going on. So in your life, Gideon was a man like you are, but he made a decision not to be like every other person. I want to do something different. You know, the second thing he did was a choice. If you know, and God opened a door, you will choose how that door will be walked on. I had a paper, an address, because I made the decision to go and get it. Now the next is to write. If I write, it has to be my choice, either to use that paper or not. God will give you a gift. But you have to make a choice, the level of manifestation of that gift. Because the level of the manifestation of that gift depends on your complete yieldedness to God, which is a choice. Some of us want to serve God, but we want to serve God on our own terms. Right? God, you know, I will do it if it's convenient for me this way. That's a choice. God is not going to mess around with your choice. But you limit yourself to what you can see and what you can feel and what you can experience. Because your choice have restricted you. Then you find out that your choice actually set the ball rolling. Even when I made the decision to write, and after writing, and I got admission, I still have a step to go. So it's important for us to look at the whole thing we are doing as Christians. Because your choice creates principles. Don't forget this. The choice you make create principles. It create boundaries. It create those you work with and those you can't work with. It create where you go and what you do. It create where you enter and where you don't enter. Your choice. This afternoon, some of us went to the restaurant. There are many restaurants in this town. You know, when you get to a restaurant, they give you a book. Right? The book, you have to study the book for exam. And when you read all the books and everything, and you see somebody, the invigilator will come and say, are you ready to make a choice? Is that not what they said? Are you ready to decide what to eat? And then you look out the menus and pick one. Because that one you pick was just a choice that suit your taste at that moment. It may not turn out well. Hello? Because it's a choice. There are other choices that are there that when you look at who in our lives, even when you want to, you know, save money, listen. You put money in savings, and there's a challenge here. So, well, let me loan from here. After I'll put it back. Does it happen? But do you actually put it back? No. Once it comes out, it's gone. But if you decide, my wife can see money in my hand now, and he said, do you have money? I said, no, I didn't lie. Why? Because the money is tagged with name. It has a purpose. And if it has a purpose, I don't use it, no matter what it is. It's a choice. A choice of how you manage your prayer life, how you manage your Christian service, a choice of how you manage your service to God. You will choose how far you want to go. You remember Peter was following Jesus Christ. He made a good decision to follow Jesus Christ. I will not leave you. But when the situation, the dice were cast, the Bible says he followed him at a distance. Right? By the time he got there and it was so tough, he made a choice. The choice is to go and warm himself. But he lied. He denied his master because he made a wrong choice. So many times we do that. We get people into our lives that become a burden, become a problem. They weigh us down. And if you want to grow as a Christian, the Bible says, abstain from every appearance of evil. Stay away from it. Because you cannot grow without being consistent with God. Because your choice creates a principle, creates a boundary around you. I live by five principles. No matter what you give to me, outside those five principles, I don't accept it. That's all. People have called me to give me an award. I reject them. No. People have called me to all kinds of things. I refuse because they are against my principles. The principle, something to keep me straight on where I'm going to be. First in that principle is that I want to get to heaven. Because your choice will create the principle. Because I want to go to heaven, this is what I want to do to guide it. So if you want to be a Christian, you don't just want to be a Christian for nothing. I want to be a useful Christian. I want to be someone God can depend upon. I want to be somebody God can always call upon. Then there must be principle that guides your life. Because if it doesn't guide your life, you live for anything. Somebody who don't have a principle live for anything. Your choice. Your choice. Choose the kind of friends you have. The choice you make. Choose the kind of friends you have. Not everybody is your friend. You can see people, you can talk with them, but when I call you my friend, you will know me and I will know you. Everything about me. Because I have trusted you as a friend. Every one of us just see somebody today, oh, it's my friend. So you tell everything. And then you find out sometimes they become very jealous of you. And then you find a problem. So when you make a choice, that choice must be consistent with the values you have as a child of God. If it's not, it will not take you anywhere. Gideon said, if the Lord is with us, how come all these things that we had, we are not seeing them again? us, the God that brought us out of this place, if that God is with us, this will not happen. Go in this your might. In other words, go and unleash your strength. Just go and unleash your strength. Because that decision and the choice was what brought him there. Now, the third thing is a desire. You see, we have this all the time. They look alike, but they are not the same. Your choice, your decision set a course of action. Your choice keep the ball rolling. But what sustains the movement is your desire. It's your desire that takes you from one level of that choice to another level of the choice. It's your desire that refines the things you do. It's your desire that moves you further to where you go. Because that is exactly what God wants to do in your life. How you put your money, how you use your money, how you use your time is a desire. You can desire to spend your time with things that have no eternal value. It's your desire. God is not going to fight you with it, but he limits you. You can choose God. I want to follow you, but you know, when it comes to this, no. God, no, don't do that. Your choice leads you to a desire. And when God saw that in him, he said, listen, you will go and do this because I sent you. It was his decision that brought him to a place where he has to make a choice. And the choice is, I want to do something no matter what it costs me. I want to do something that will glorify God. Then it became a desire. The desire is, God, I want to walk with you. And God said, well, you just go home. Start from your father's house. You see the idol in your father's house, the shrine in your father's house, kill, destroy it. Oh, God, they will kill me. But you know what? Let me do it at night. Just give me permission to do it at night. And God said, that's fine. So far, you destroy it. He went there, approved the whole thing, killed the cow, used it to worship God instead of idol. In the first convert he has was his father. The town gathers, hey, bring your son. We know that this is the boy that will do this. Now, if he had not been living consistent with God, they would not know. He has been living a life that is based on good decision and good choices that have come to a desire to do something that will change Israel. And the father said, anyone that will want to fight for this idol must be killed. So the father was on his side. And God said, you know what? I want to tell you something. I'm going to use you to destroy your enemies. Gideon said, oh God, listen. I'm the lowest, the smallest in my father's children. My family is the poorest in our clan. We are the lowest in the clan. So how can that be possible? God said, well, you are doubting me, all right? Go into the camp and listen to what they will say. And he went there to listen. And somebody was relating a dream and said, we saw something tumble, a cake tumble, and everything fall up. I said, oh, it's the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Guess what? Do you know how they fought the battle? That was the language they used. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. They didn't use their sword in the first instance. They used a light and the trumpet. What is the sword? Here. Why? He desired for God to change the situation and God wants to use him. You are praying for a revival, it starts with you. And you are praying for God to change Tuella. You have to go out and reach the lost. Because that's what, if you actually made a good choice, it has to be a desire to see people saved. And you must go out and see them. If you want the world to be saved, do something that will affect the world. It's not just here. You just sit down and no. Have your desire ever driven you to a place of fasting and prayer? I mean your desire. No, it's not what the pastor told you. It's not what anybody, but in your relationship with God, as God talks to you, as you study the word of God, a burden comes into your heart and you decide that, look, I'm going to fast and pray. And God is looking. He just smiled. Yeah, that's one of them. You have just entered into a training. And he keep bringing this burden in your life. Before you know it, you are going out to minister. Let me tell you, if I have to make a choice at the time God called me, pastor will be the last. I will give money to be a pastor, will be the last in the list, because I was in business, I was doing well. I will give money, but not to be a pastor. But when God called me and told me, it's you I want, not your money, I sold up everything and gave it away. I didn't keep anything for myself. I entered with nothing, because we're taught that if you cross your bridge, you burn it. Now listen, my first salary, I don't even know how to quantify it, because in your money, it will mean nothing. 5 naira, let me just say 5 cents. All right? Every 3 months. That was my first salary. 20 cents for the whole year. That is somebody who can eat anything before. Because I made a decision and I made a choice. And that choice is now telling on me, because I can't buy what I want to buy anymore, right? The next year I prayed, I said, God, I'm still in my father's house. I'm still eating my mother's food. I want to experience ministry, a desire. God showed me a revelation of a man who was actually our leader. He wrote something on a yellow pad and then keep it inside his Bible in my revelation. So we came to a meeting and we're talking, and there was this back and forth. I said, excuse me, sir. God showed me you wrote something on the yellow piece of paper and it's in your Bible. Can you read it to us? Oh, he said, yeah, thank you very much. He opened it. It was a transfer. I pray that I want to experience me. They sent me to one of the worst village. I was number one. Now I am going to experience ministry. And I was given a salary of 10 cents, about 10 cents a month. I can't tell you how I survived. Because I made a choice. I made a decision. And now my desire is to experience ministry. I am now in the place of ministry. And it has come to a point where I have to pay price. Because every desire in your heart have a price tag. You want God to use you in healing? A price tag. You want God to use you in ministry? A price tag. You must pay that price tag. Otherwise, you will not go anywhere. Because your desire will cost you something. You remember David? When you say, I will not serve God with what costs me nothing. Your desire. Your desire provides the motivation to move ahead. Many Christians are discouraged today because their desire is not towards what the Lord wants them to do. It moves you through obstacles. When you come to a place where it's like you are not going to go forward anymore, it moves you through obstacles, your desire. God, I want to experience your power. How will you like somebody to tell you, I'm going to kill you? And you know that he means it. Not with gun. With fetish powers. Because in certain countries in Africa, in certain ways, somebody point hand to you and say, you will see. Go and pray if you're a Christian. Just go and pray. You will see. That you will see doesn't mean he's going to shoot you. No. He has something he's going to do in his house. Can do you anything. I can tell you, again, dozens of things that desire to see God and that desire to serve God have led me into. And then you find out that desire gives you motivation to say, no matter what it is, I'm going to walk through this. You don't back out. Before I ordain somebody a deacon, you go through a very rigorous test. And you don't know. Sometimes I drop something and see what it will do. Whether you pick it and how you pick it. All kinds of things I do. Because to be in a place of leadership, you must pay a price. The young man who is pastoring this church as I'm gone have been with me for about 40 years. Do you understand? 40 years he has been with me. I have seen him suffer. I have seen him rejoice. I sent him to school, to the university, and pay. I encourage him when he wants to marry. I pay the dowry of his wife. Why? Because I know his potential. I know where he's going. He's a lawyer today, successful lawyer, but a pastor. Anywhere I'm going to, I just walk away. I don't care. There was a day in our meeting just early this year, and I said to him, I said something to him, he said, yes, sir. So I said to him, is there no time? He said, no. He has never said to me, no, sir. Any message I sent him is yes, sir. So that day, everybody burst into laughter. I said, but we are, I said, but no, his own is just to a fault. Why? He is so sold out to God that anything I ask him to do, anywhere I ask him to go, he's going. I don't need to tell him what to preach. He has learned enough to be able to preach and preach better than I preach. He has learned enough. But the desire he has. There's another one that is a chief magistrate in a state and a deputy registrar of a court, of the court or judiciary in that state. It's my pastor. That one, anything, if I call him 12 midnight, go on your knees and pray for me, he will do it. He calls all the time, how are you doing, sir? You know, is there anything I can do? Yes, do that, do that. He will do it, and no matter the cost. Asking God for, what is it that is moving? What's your desire? What are you asking God for? What is it that is moving you to see yourself in a way that you become someone that people can look up to and say, how did you get here? Don't forget these three things. The choice you make, the decisions you make, don't forget them, your desires. Because if you make a decision and you don't follow it up with a choice, a right choice, you fail. You know what it means when you eat something wrong. There's a certain kind of water I will let you. One of the pastors came to Nigeria and I told him, hey, there's something you will not eat. I said, but the aroma is going to invite you. He said, what is it? I said, chicken pepper soup. Don't eat it. Except we cook it. Don't eat it. Chicken pepper soup. He said, okay. He walked into the restaurant. This aroma is made with chicken. He will invite you. You will hardly resist the temptation. So he walked towards it and he saw it. He took a bowl. And he ate it. It was so good. He went back for the second bowl. So in the morning, I came and he was looking very haggard. I said, what is it? He said, I didn't sleep last night. I said, what happened? He said, I was just, going to the bathroom. I said, what did you eat? He said, there's something that is like chicken. I said, chicken pepper soup. He said, but I warn you. You see, he made the wrong choice, right? And the thing did his job. It's made to clean you up, so he cleaned him up. But I knew what it was. I said, don't do it. I know how tasteful it is. I know how alluring it is. But that is, somehow we make decisions that actually land us in trouble. The first day I smoked marijuana is because somebody actually laughed at me. In Africa, when they call you a woman, is the worst insult they can give to a man. It means you have no decision. You are not strong. That's what they tell you. And when they said it, I was mad. I grabbed that thing from their hand and smoked what they couldn't smoke. And I got hooked up to it. Wrong choice. I should have walked away. There are many things we have actually put ourselves, entangled ourselves into because we made a wrong choice. And there are certain choices we have made that have not been developed because we have no desire. Ask yourself the question as a Christian, what is your desire? How far do you want to go with God? Paul said, I cast out everything I have done. All the experience I've had, all the education and all the religious things I put them behind that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That was a desire. He said, no matter what it, I push forward. Don't forget that sometimes they'll beat Paul up. After beating him up, they'll put him in a basket and lay him down. And then when he comes and wipe off the whole thing, he's going to the next village to preach. Because I'm doing it so that I can win some. A desire. What is your desire? You have made a decision to be a child of God. Fine. You have made a choice to belong to this church. Fine. But what is your desire? What do you want to do that will single you out as a man, as a woman who God is using? You will. That will have to do with your desire. And I pray that today you will ask yourself those questions, those tough questions that will help you reverse some things that you are doing. Let me tell you, I don't know why. If I ask how many books have you read, how many Christian books have you read? And you find you can read any other thing but the Christian books, especially good Christian books that can challenge you. We won't read it because it looks boring. Either we don't read it because we don't want to be cut off in those burden, or we don't actually have a desire to know. But if we have a desire to know, we'll be willing to pay the price no matter what it costs. And I pray that you'll be able to straighten your desires, because it helps you walk over situations without dropping the ball. That is what makes heroes. Gideon became a mighty commander just because of these three things. He made a decision to change the course of action in his country. He made a choice to give himself wholly to it and to follow God and walk with him. And he made a desire to see Israel restored. And God sent him into the war and look at, have a congregation of 32,000 people. Great. And God said, there are too many. Just announce, whoever is afraid and fearful, go home. 22,000 went home. You'll be so discouraged. Then God said, no, there are still too much. Bring them to the river and watch those who will take their hand like this and those who will settle down to drink water, put them aside. Only 300 passed the test. Let me ask you a question. If you are sent to the court because you are a Christian, will they have enough evidence to convict you? Did you hear what I just said? If they send you to court because you are a Christian, will they have enough evidence? He's a Christian, he reads the Bible a lot, he wins souls, he loves so much, he's reaching out everywhere, he's a good man, and because of that, we brought him to court. Will they have enough evidence against you? And if not, we need to change our course so that God will be pleased with us. At 72, everybody says, you shouldn't retire by this time. Somebody, if you go to the page of what I posted about this morning's service, a friend of mine who is a bishop is on his way to Toronto, and he said to me, hey, find time to rest. I said, I will try. That's what my reply, I will try. Because he knows. You know how I walk. It's not that I don't need rest. I do. But the time is short. I have to do whatever I have to do. Because at 72, the time is not in my favor. All right? You come to a point where you can't move. You know, people say, you are so strong. I know. When I wake up in the morning, I know I'm 72. Because money starts very slow, right? But the thing is, there are a lot to do that you just have to use every minute, every hour, every time to do what you need to do for the kingdom of God with the time you have. That's a desire. And I pray that that will be a challenge to you. But don't forget the question, will they have enough evidence against you that you're a Christian? Not an arrogant person, but because you are a Christian. I pray the Lord bless you. Shall we pray? I just want you to bow your head and look at these three simple things we have talked about. Think about it a little bit. Your decisions. Maybe there are areas that in your life you know that you should have done better, but you have made the wrong decisions. But it's not too late to change it. It's not too late. And then you find out that in your decisions, you have made some good decisions, but wrong choices on how to implement them. It's not too late to change it. Or you find out that you have made some choices that are good, but you don't have a desire to move that forward. Ask the Lord to minister to your heart today. I'm going to pray generally for everybody, but I want to ask those of you who know God is calling you into certain things in the work of God, calling you into a place of responsibility, but you've been running and running and running away. This time, it's not sickness, it's not sin. I'm holding you firm to use you for His glory. It's time you say, God, yes. It's time to say, God, yes. Those are the people I want to call tonight. That you've been actually, you know what God wanted to do. You know how He wanted to do it. But you always try to shift away. Try to run away from it. You know, you'll be happy when somebody else is doing it. But God is looking at you. You are only limiting yourself. Why not say, God, yes. The grace to do it will be given to you when you say yes. Because the yes will trigger the virtue of God into your life. So I don't know what that is in your life that you have been running from. And God is saying, can you give it to me today? So if you are here and that is something you need to do, just go to the altar and say, God, I submit myself. Whatever you want to do, do it with me. I'm ready to go with you. That is the basic thing God wants tonight. To make a decision and a choice and a desire. I'm going to pray and ask God to visit us afresh. To do something that can change our hearts, our mind, our thoughts. To remove the fear of failure and the fear of unknown that have hindered us from doing what God wants us to do. Those things that restrict you, those things that make you feel you are not adequate, are only there to restrict you from what God wants to do. God said, give me that vessel. If you give me the vessel, I will use it. Father, thank you very much for tonight. Thank you because I know you have spoken to your people. I know that you have opened our eyes and understanding. I know that you, oh Lord, our Father, put something in our hearts that tonight will turn around to become a catalyst to everything that we're going to do from now. Lord, I pray that you reach out to every individual in this place and begin to work in our hearts to see projects and see things that you have created us for, that we are running from. That from this day, Father, we yield to you and submit here and be obedient to you and follow you. Lord, I pray for everyone here that you reach out to us, that we will not lock ourselves out of your move, but we will open the door for you to walk in our lives. Thank you, my Father. And I pray that you bless us as we continue to meditate on this. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
So, there was a call to respond. There needs to be a decision, a choice. Is your desire for what God has greater than desire to ignore that tugging on your heart? we're going to sing, and as Brother Thomas said, the altar's open. And if the Lord has spoken to you, get up and respond to Him. Do what He's tugging on your heart to do. Simple as that. Simple as that. The altar is open.
Here is where I lay down every burden and crown. This is my surrender. And this is my surrender. Here is where I lay down every lie and every doubt. And this is my surrender. And this is my surrender. My surrender. And I will make room. To do whatever you want to.